Hey, what's good? Welcome to Conversationalist Corner, a podcast that explores the world of conversation. My name is Paul Larson, and I'm here with my co-host, Jacob White. Super excited to have you here, and we hope that as you listen in today, that you learn the things that enable you to have the best conversations anytime, anyplace, and with anybody. Let's get it. Welcome. Good morning, everybody. We are happy to have you here today. All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Another week, another conversation. We hope that everyone's been having a good time with life. And we hope you really have learned more about conversations. And we're super excited for today's topic and kind of fun new aspect of conversations that we've briefly mentioned before, but having the chance to go in depth about.
Yeah, but I guess before we get into that bulk of the episode, one little thing, we're in a new location. Hopefully you've been enjoying our little explore.
Yeah, you might not see the podcast room again.
Yeah, maybe never.
Maybe whenever it gets cold we might, but honestly,
yeah,
stuffy vibes
in there. Anyways,
though, I have to say, for those of you who are watching, you'll have already noticed. But for those of you who are listening, Jacob has forgotten a book today, and so he is holding his mic on a twig.
Yes, it's a good twig. Maybe it would be a tree someday, but it's not my podcast.
No, he has picked it up.
Microphone holder.
So. Yeah, but let's jump into things first with life update. Jake, what's new with you?
Okay, in the last week, what's new? School has really ramped up for me. I've taken, I think, 4 midterms since last week. Maybe 3. I can't remember. Something around there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So school's really ramped up. I have my last midterm of this kind of set of midterms next week. So that's kind of the update for me.
Hey, wait. Question. Follow up. Last week you said you were going to find that girl that said hi to you.
Okay.
You talked to her. Did you do it?
I did. So I was so excited because if you listened to last week's episode, if you haven't listened to that last week episode about
reconnecting
with other people, go and give it a listen. But there was a story that I shared in there where I kind of blew off a girl that I had known in the past from a class last semester. But this week I was walking to my lab and I had been on the phone. I was on the phone with my mom and Eliza, my sister, who was about to leave to go to Mexico for her training as a missionary. I was on the phone with them, and she walks by. And so I could have blown her off again.
You could have been like, oh.
But I didn't.
Hey.
I said hi. It was like a hey, what's up, how's it going moment. And then that was about it.
Hey.
But
better than last
I felt
time.
So awesome. That's a lot better than I felt last so time. Good that I was able to like kind of reconcile my
grief
sins.
Yeah. Repent.
I have been fully repented of, and yeah, it was really good. So that's a little update. Other than that, nothing really too big. My sister Eliza, if you know her, she just left yesterday. She's in Mexico City at the Missionary Training Center for the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints in Mexico City, where she is going to be for the next month. Kind of learning how to be a better missionary and learning Spanish.
Yeah.
That's the majority of what she's doing there is learning Spanish. And actually today I'll be able to talk to her later today. So
yeah, so this is turning into Eliza's life updates. Now she,
yeah, pretty much. I don't have an interesting life. So I just share about my siblings.
I understand. I got less than Jacob to share. I haven't taken a single midterm yet.
You're so lucky.
No, I think I've got one next week. Maybe.
Maybe.
I think maybe 2. I don't really know. I don't really keep track of that stuff.
Just kind of happens.
Yeah, life's good. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just vibing.
Really, really are just vibing.
But speaking of vibes.
What are the vibes?
The vibes are body language.
Body language.
Ta-da. Yeah.
Funny story about that. Before we get into it, I had to bring up my little sister again. She was listening to and watching some of the videos that we put on our social media, and she was like, Jacob, when Paul's looking at you, you should look at him. I was like, dang. So that's what we're here to talk about today, about how to have good body language.
Me and Jacob making eyes at each other in the podcast.
So I don't know if I'm talking to Paul or if I'm talking to you guys, But if you watch on video, you'll see that we don't look at each other too much.
Well, Jacob doesn't look at me. I look at Jacob a lot.
Yeah, Paul looks at me a lot. I'm looking at the camera.
I'm having a conversation with Jacob. Jacob is not having. He's kind of having a conversation with you as the listener.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been brought up in quite a few of our episodes, I feel like,
which is interesting because it's something that I think we had when we were kind of. We had a little planning session a couple of weeks ago, a month or two ago, whenever we were like, oh, let's get back into it. And I think that this is one of the topics that we like discussed, but we didn't, I don't think we expected to get to it this quick.
No, I did not think, I thought there would be a lot of other things we'd get to a lot quicker. And, but honestly, just the number of times it's come up, it has made it so apparent to me how important that body language is while we're having conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just can echo that. Like it's come up, and I think it's important that we take time to address it. And so I'm curious. Actually, I think what we'll start off with. I had a little experience. Like my first experience when I really like saw the importance of body language. Is whenever I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
I was actually in a musical.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a little musical theater kid for sixth and seventh grade.
Oh, wow. I did not know this about you, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Well, most people don't.
It's not the
I don't really share.
You don't preach.
But anyways, in my first musical ever, I got one of the starring roles, not to flex or anything. It was some no-name musical called The Coney Island of Dr. Moreau. I had a couple, like a duet. I was singing a lot. But anyways... I think it was like the first night of like our performance or whatever. And my dad was really good at theater in high school, back when it was cool, you know, back when that was like the thing to do.
People that did theater, right. Like the popular kids.
Yeah, exactly. School. Like everyone wanted to be the starring roles and stuff like that. Anyways, after like the opening night or whatever, we're driving home, and I remember we were pulling around like the backside of the parking lot. I remember this oddly vividly, actually.
That's interesting.
And my dad, you know, he's giving me praise and everything. He's like, but I do have some advice. And I was like,
of course you do.
I was like, okay, whatever. But I was like, no, I was probably humbler back then. And I was like, okay, like what do you think, Dad? And he was like, like my character was Charlie Greenwood.
Okay.
By the way. And he was a super cool pilot dude who ended up crashing on this island. I guess he wasn't that good of a pilot. But anyways, yeah, he was like, you know what? Like, I was watching, you know, the way that you, like, stood there and the way that you moved. And I just have a question with you. Like, what would Charlie Greenwood do with his arms? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, because you kind of, like, whenever you're standing there on stage and whenever you're not, like, acting, like, whenever you're, like, kind of there on the side, your arms are pretty... I don't remember exactly what the word he used to describe them, but I think he was like, your arms are... like just hanging there or something. He described what I was doing, and he's like, but what would Charlie Greenwood do? You know, he seems like a cool dude, kind of cocky, kind of too cool, you know, pilot vibes, right?
Yeah,
he's flying a small plane, right? And he's kind of the leader of the group of these like stranded people. And I was like, dang, like Charlie Greenwood, like he was probably pretty tough, you know, he'd probably throw up arms across the chest whenever he's like
standing, you know, there,
whenever he's a little bit I don't know, not defensive, but whenever he's like, yeah, come on, whatever.
Tough guy.
Yeah, whenever he's acting tough, and then whenever he's, like, walking around, he probably has his hands in his pocket. He's probably sauntering a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what the changes made, but the next performance, the next night, I was really conscious about that, and I feel like it really made me a better actor. And to this day, it is something that I remember whenever, especially whenever I'm taking pictures. It's like, what would I do with my arms, right? Like, what does Paul Larson do with his arms, right? Paul Larson's a cool dude. He's a tough guy.
He's a cool dude.
Right?
He's swole.
He knows what to do with his body. He's not awkward with his body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time that I really was like, dang, like, my body shows who I am. The way that I hold my body shows who I am.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a really cool story, Paul.
I'm very lucky that it happened at such a young age.
Yeah, because I feel like I never really, like, and maybe this is just me not paying attention. It speaks a lot to who I was as a kid. But really the only thing that I was taught by my parents was like, you need to keep eye contact. Like, yeah. You need to keep eye contact. Like, cause I, even to this day, I still struggle with it.
Yeah. As Elijah mentioned.
Yeah. I feel like that was something that my parents preached to me so loud and clear, was like, when talking to someone, especially someone older than you, maintain eye contact. And it's kind of awkward. Even just like people do, like I can keep eye contact with Paul for this whole podcast if we wanted. We're not going to, because it's like, why stare into the depths of each other's eyes? But it does hold a meaning when looking at people's in the eye.
Yeah.
And I feel like as I've grown older and I've been more conscious of it, it has created a more meaningful conversation. Especially I feel like I got a lot better at it while I was in the Philippines as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Because I was so intentional with all of my actions that I really wanted to make people feel heard and understood. Yeah. And so it was so important to keep on eye contact. But I think body language is so much more than just eye contact, but like the way you hold yourself.
Yeah. Well, and so here's actually what I was thinking as I was prepping for this podcast last night. I think there's kind of like two different categories of body language, and I would almost label it as like explicit and implicit, or direct and indirect, or something like that, where there's body language that is, I feel like, that is the body language that you have without communication. And then there's like the body language that you have with communication, right? Uh-huh. Like there's there's body language that I don't even know how to best describe it, but it's like there's body language that people will notice and that will kind of like set your vibe before you even have a conversation.
Yeah.
And then there's, okay, we'll do like conversational body language and then non-conversational body language. That's probably the best way to put it, right? And I think a great example of non-conversational would be, you know, Charlie Greenwood acting, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you're on stage, a lot of the times you're actually not the one speaking, but you still have to show the audience what's up. Yeah. So what do? You have to be, you know, sauntering around. You got to be arms back. You know, if they're having a conversation and I'm super cool, you know, I might lean back. I might kick my feet up, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be present, but I'm going to be intentional with the way that I present myself.
Yeah. And I think that's so applicable, even like, obviously you're sharing it within an acting role, but even just in our day-to-day life and how we present ourselves in our actions. So like if you're walking somewhere, like let's say you're walking to work from your car, if you are like head down, kind of shoulders hunched and you're kind of walking, like that's not going to display someone that you're like very confident or that you're like very happy, or but if you're to walk
okay I like where you're going, and I want to do a little exercise about this. Okay so first thing that I think is important is a little bit of self-reflection, right?
Yeah.
So who do you want to present, who do you want to like emit into the, what's the energy you want to put out into the world?
Yeah.
All right. And so I want you to think about that for a second, Jacob.
Okay.
Right, what's the energy that you want to put? And now I want you to think of maybe a movie character that you like or would like to be like.
Hmm.
Or a person in real life.
Movie character.
A character that you can visually see. It can be a person. It could be someone on social media. It could be.
Can I say I want to be me?
No, you can't.
Can't be one of those guys.
Because you can't see yourself.
I can see myself.
All the time. No, you can't.
I can visualize it.
Okay. Jacob, all right, that's step number two. That's step number two, okay?
Be humble.
All right, no. So think of someone that you would like to be like.
Okay.
Do you have someone?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to share?
Yeah, his name's Chris Griffith.
Chris Griffith. Okay.
The podcaster.
Podcaster. All right, what are some of the physical things that... Well, no, here's a question. What do you see him as? What are some of his characteristics?
He's very confident. He is... Like, he knows what he wants. He is able... the way he presents himself is someone who cares about other people.
Yeah.
And is very invested in them.
Yeah.
And he also wants to be able to show himself as someone who is not like worried about what other people would think of him.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, I'm doing what I'm doing, and if you don't like it, like, suck it.
Yeah. I like it. So what are some of the things, the body languages and the social cues that he acts out that give you that impression?
He smiles a lot.
Yeah.
He's a big smiler.
Smiling is great.
Chest up, shoulders back,
yeah.
Head high. That's something that I try and do a lot. And then just like the way you walk, like, I think just like, you don't like whether you're walking fast or slow, it doesn't really matter, but like just walking with intention, and just like being considerate of other people as well.
Yeah.
Not just being like,
what does that get look out of my like? Way. What does that look like? And,
I think just being aware of your surroundings and just like kind of like as you walk, like smiling.
I think here's one thing that I don't know if this is what Jake's getting at, but I think that eyes are really important, but huge part of body language. You talk about eye contact, but you talked about being aware of the people around you. This means while you're walking,
you're looking around.
You're not tunnel vision.
No, not right? at all.
So you can walk with a purpose, you know, for you, but be watching people around you. Be looking at their faces, right? See what's going on. Smile
as you go by. If you're not having a conversation, like just smile.
Right.
A smile speaks 1,000 words.
Right. So if Jacob wants to be confident, assured of himself, doesn't care what other people think of him, what do you think he needs to do? All of these things that, what is his name again?
Chris Griffith.
Christopher Griffith needs to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think a quote I was told once by one of my mentor's fathers. So I have kind of a mentor in my life who has influenced me quite a bit. And his father is a really successful businessman. I had a time where we were interacting with him, and he, in his successful business, has obviously interacted with a lot of people, within business. And then also within, the framework of our church, he's worked a lot with, even like, past presidents of our church. And he said, advice he gave to me was that communication is 90% of our body language and 10% of what we say. And so I think it's so important to, like, if we think about, like, the framework of what, like, the exercise Paul and I just had, like, before you say a single word to someone, they've already kind of assessed your body language subconsciously. I don't think it's something we do consciously very often.
Yeah.
Maybe we do sometimes, but I think most of the time it's a subconscious thing that we do. But that is, I found it to be 100% true. Like, your body language will tell so much more than whatever you can say. Because if I'm saying, like,
you can say anything.
If I'm like, Paul, I think you're so awesome. Like, I'm laid back. I'm not really looking at him. I'm like that, for example, is like, okay, you said the words, you didn't mean it though.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's like kind of transitioning to body language within communication, yeah. Which is so vast. And so like, we could talk about so many different things, I feel like, right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of interesting how we can communicate one thing through our words, but it doesn't necessarily come through because of our actions.
Right. So I think what you're getting into there is conversational body language.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So to wrap up non-conversational body language, I think that, first of all, decide who you want to be. I'm not saying who you are right now.
No.
Decide who you want to be, because odds are you probably, there's things that you want that you don't have now. And I would say, do a little inventory, you know, say, or okay, maybe do this first, do an inventory, just like think of yourself right now, think about your body's doing this, do this periodically throughout the day, throughout the week, and just like analyze your body language. Say, if I was like an actor in a movie, like what would they think of my character?
Yeah.
Right. What is my body language showing about me? And notice that, well, maybe I look tired, right? Because I'm slumped over, right? And I mouth breathing and whatnot. Or maybe, you know, I look super lackadaisical because my feet are up on the desk and my hands are behind my head, right? So take inventory of that. And then decide, well, what do I want to communicate? What do I want to seem like, right? What is the role that I want to play? And then decide on specific things that you want to do to show that. And use role models. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
And
I think that little exercise we just did could be something you do in a journal, you do totally. With someone else,
yeah.
Or just do within your head.
And decide on those actions and just implement them. This is not about perfection, guys. No. This is not about doing it all the time, right? This is what mindfulness is actually all about. But it's not being perfect, but it's just regrounding yourself in what you want to be, right? So taking that time and being like, you know what, this is who I want to be. Let's do this.
Yeah, I think that those are some great principles to kind of think about. I really like how you brought up the part about like being mindful of how am I presenting myself right now? Because I think it's easy to get relaxed.
Totally.
And become a little bit, depending on the situation.
Especially if you're stressed, you're tired, you're busy.
Yeah.
You just don't think about it.
But I think if you become more conscious of it in your day-to-day life, it will become a habit. I found myself doing this in the last 2 to 3 weeks is as I've been walking around and I've been very conscious of, okay, I want my shoulders back. It's easy when you have a backpack on.
Yeah.
But it's
tighten the straps a little bit.
Yeah, tighten the straps a little bit. I've been very conscious of the way I walk around. And I haven't been perfect at it by any means. Like, sometimes there'll be times where I'm walking with head down, looking at my phone, and I almost run into someone else who's doing the same thing, right?
No.
So, like,
we're going to talk about phones in a little
bit. We can talk about phones
context. Anyways, not to interrupt.
But, yeah, I think I've been super conscious of it, and it has made me more confident. Like, I haven't really changed anything. I've just become a little bit more confident in, like, the way I'm moving and walking around.
There's so many things to talk about this. Anyways, little side tangent that I just want to talk about really quick. And this will play into the conversational body language. But what Jacob said is like, act confident. Like, fake it till you make it, essentially.
100%.
Act it and you will feel that. And it's not just like a pep talk thing. Like, it's science, guys. In my physiology class, we were talking about Botox.
Oh, interesting.
Because we were talking about the way that the muscles contract and whatnot. And Botox paralyzes the muscles in your face. And it prevents you from moving your face in a way that causes wrinkles, right?
Yeah.
But studies have shown that you are actually, and don't get mad at me, I don't have the study right now. Benjamin Bickman, my professor, beef with him because he's the one who told me that. But he said that according to these studies, people with Botox are actually less empathetic. Like, on empathy tests, they score lower.
Wow.
Than either they did previously or other people.
Interesting.
Because if your face is frozen, you can't smile as much. You can't
show emotions
emote
with your
as
face.
Much as my emotion, show emotions as much. And by not showing as much emotions, you actually begin to feel less emotions.
Yeah.
And so that's actually really important. It is not a pep talk. It is science.
Yeah.
If you act a certain way, you will begin to feel a certain way.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Would never guess that.
Right. Exactly. And so this is really important actually to consider in non-conversational body language, right? If you want something, but you don't feel it in the moment, like, just act like you do, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, if you were to feel this, what would you act like? Okay, now act like that. And odds are you'll start to feel that way.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like how I am with most things in my life right now. Like, not most things, but a lot of things. That's just right. How you have to go about life. People that are the most successful in life probably didn't start out with all the confidence in the world.
Make sure you keep that point.
And, people who are the most successful, like, they had to kind of fake it till they made it.
Yeah.
Until they were given the respect. Because confidence, I think part of it is earning respect. But if you act confident, you act like you have the respect of others.
Yeah.
And people will then respect you more.
Right. Totally.
But do you want to kind of go into specifics within conversational body language, Paul?
Yeah. Actually, I think that let's just dive into that. I think that
we've
beaten the dead horse with non-conversational.
Just be confident.
Just be confident. Well, act confident, then be confident.
Quietly confident.
Yeah.
But, like, respectfully.
Right.
Like,
Anyways.
Yeah. We beat the dead horse.
So, going into conversational body language, both of us have a lot of conversation experience, yeah. I think. Were you about to ask something?
I was just going to ask if you have any specific experiences.
Specific experiences, I think that the best conversations, and I wonder if everyone else is in agreement with me, but I feel like the best conversations, and this is something I actually see with Jacob a lot, so thank you, Jacob, is actually whenever your body languages are very similar.
Okay.
Like, I think that if you're both, like, Like if one person's body is super tense and the other person's body is like super relaxed.
Yeah.
Unless you're already really great friends, like I don't think that's the best.
So like kind of, would you say like, I had never thought of this, but maybe like matching the vibe of the other person.
Yeah, like, you know, like giving the same energy, but with your body. I think that's super important. And that being said, I mean, I think that that is really important, but, you know, what should that energy look like, I guess?
Yeah.
I think that intentionality and, you know, again, thinking from the outsider's perspective, thinking from their perspective, like, what does my body show them as an actor, right?
Yeah.
Like, and just, I don't know, like, there's no like specific experience that I can think of at the time at this moment with that, but like I feel like it's pretty obvious, and I think we all do know about it. Like you talked about, you were taught about eye contact. It's
yeah.
a big one. Eye contact immediately teaches someone that your attention is on them.
Yeah,
body pointed towards them again shows them that they are the focus of your life. You are, if they are in front of you, then they have to be sort of your focus, right?
Because yeah,
physically that's how it works, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that, to be honest, like those for me are just like huge, you know, just making the other person the focus.
Yeah.
With your body language.
Yeah. I think being super intentional of how you are presenting yourself to the other person, I think something that can get in between you and someone you're talking with in our day and age is our cell phones.
Yeah.
And I think that this might be a good time to talk about those.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I don't know where I heard this, but even just like the presence of a cell phone in a conversation, whether it's up on a table or like just in sight, is
dangerous.
Is dangerous for, because
the
sad part is it sometimes becomes our priority over the person we're talking
right.
to. And so keeping your cell phone out of sight when you're having a conversation is super important. Don't put it face down on the table. Just put it in your pocket, not even in your pocket. Sometimes I think it's good to just like have it like
gone
behind you in a bag,
something like
just
that.
Just not on you, because yeah. when you're trying to have like a meaningful conversation, cell phones and technology and TVs, and this is something my parents would tell me a lot too as a kid. I'm just like outing myself as a kid. Sometimes we would go to like a restaurant
yeah.
and like they would have TVs sometimes. And like I didn't watch that much TV, but there was always like sports on.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
love sports. And so my parents would intentionally make me sit on the side that wasn't facing a TV.
Oh yeah.
Because if I did face, like if I was sitting on the side of the table that was facing a TV, I would like stare at it.
Yeah.
And like, well, not be able to engage in,
even if you're not staring at, you know, you look up.
Yeah.
But that's immediately like boom, that person knows that you're
disconnect.
Not paying attention to them. Right? I had a point. What was I thinking of?
I don't know.
Okay. Total brain fart. I'm sorry, guys. What were we talking about? Body language.
Cell phones.
Yes. So you might ask, like, and I want us to really kind of break it down real quick. Whenever you have a cell phone, two things happen. Your eyes not on the cell phone. Second, your cell phone's not at eye level. So even if you were like, you know, you have to bow your head. You crunch over.
Yeah.
Right? Like, your whole body changes whenever you are looking at a phone.
Yeah.
And so you might think, like, oh, like I just really want to check something. It's not. Your whole body changes.
Yeah.
Right? And that's super important to realize.
And people can feel that when you switch.
Even if they don't notice, like, even if they don't, like, can't put the pin on it, like, put their finger on it, like, they know.
Yeah.
Right? So just don't do it. And, I mean, I'm of the opinion I don't really... Like, I understand that having your phone out is, I would say, dangerous, but if your body language is locked in on them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right?
As long as you can disconnect yourself from your device during a real conversation. That
right. Well, it's like the TV principle at the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't have your phone out.
Put yourself in situations to win.
Right. Circumstances, guys. Like, don't have your phone out because it'll be easy to look at it. Just like if you're sitting across the table from the TV, it's easy to look at it.
Yeah.
But let's say that you feel like you want to have a good conversation and but their energy starts off bad, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, you're like, oh, we'll match the energy. Well, don't, right? If their energy is not where it needs to be to have a good conversation, right? Like, that's problematic, right?
Have you ever had a conversation where like you're kind of not like super excited, but someone you're talking to is like so excited?
Yeah. So that's actually what I was about to talk about. Motor neurons, not motor neurons, mirror neurons.
Okay.
So this is, we're just bringing in all the,
all the science mode on us today.
It's interesting stuff. But so mirror neurons are neurons in your brain that, or essentially it's almost like a phenomenon where, this is crazy. So to set the scene, there's these scientists and they're like doing brain scans and stuff on monkeys. And they've scanned the monkeys' brains whenever they're like, I think it's like peeling a banana and eating it, right?
Okay.
And then they scan the monkey's brain whenever the monkey is watching someone or another monkey do it.
Oh, wow.
And actually, a lot of the same places in the brain light up. Like, those same neurons are firing.
Wow.
Whenever you watch someone do something that you do, like, it will, or that even, like, you want to do, like, it will fire those same neurons and create similar effects, right? And so that's really, and then it does not just monkeys, it works with humans too. But it's, so that's something to totally pay attention to in body language, right?
Yeah.
I think a perfect example of this, and we'll always talk about smiling, is like, for example, that smile.
Yeah.
How do you feel when you're smiling? You feel good, right?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. How do you feel whenever you see someone smiling?
You want to smile.
You want to smile.
Either you're like trying to not smile because you're trying to be pouty.
Yeah.
Or you're smiling.
Right. You smile, or you at least are like, you get a little butterflies, right? And you might think about that. You might think like, oh, well, that person's just like, they're happy, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
Wrong. It's your motor neurons. It's your mirror neurons, where your neurons are firing and creating that same connection.
Yeah.
That is going on with someone else, right? So that same like pathway that is fired up whenever you smile is fired up again when you see someone smile.
So how do you think this principle then ties into conversations where it's not necessarily appropriate to smile? Like, let's say we're having
I don't know. That's easy. No,
let's say Paul and I are having a serious conversation about.
Well, usually I end up cracking jokes during those conversations. Yeah. So I'm not the best example.
Well, let's say like, my wife and I are having a serious conversation.
Okay. That's probably a little more.
We're trying to talk about something in our relationship, and like, it wouldn't be like necessary. Like, if I were to smile, it wouldn't necessarily, bring the best emotions the conversation.
Well, so think about it. Okay, so what are the so think about
like what is the equivalent of a smile for that conversation?
I think that is for a deep conversation like that. You know, this is not anything scientifically proven, but I think that like for the intense conversations, amplifying anything that shows that they're the focus, right?
Okay. So like, amplifying eye contact
and amplifying that directionality with your body. Like, so I'm going to show you guys if you're watching, but like, let's say, you know, like if me and Jacob are having a silly little conversation, that's pretty meaningless. We're laughing. Yeah. I'll probably lean back and,
but like let's say
I'll be like a little bit off centered, you know, cause I don't want to be like in his space. Right. But like, if we're having a serious conversation, like, I might lean forward and I might be like, okay, this is a little close, but like,
yeah,
but like, let's say that like we're sitting more side by side, I guess. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, like, yeah, like, yeah, we're unemployed. We're losing money. Like, we should probably sell the house. And like, it'd be that, like, if it's a serious conversation, like, I'm going to just direct even more of my body towards this person. You know, I'm going to lean forward into them. You know, where it's still be like, you know, like, hey, like, this is really important to me, right? Like, I'm not going to be sitting back, kicking up my feet, but yeah.
You could say the same thing in both body languages, it would mean two completely different
right.
things.
Right. And think about it. And so what do you want? And this is not, people are going to look at this and be like, oh, this is like manipulation or whatever. This is like not being true, but it's not. You know, this is actually really important. People will say that about How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like, oh, like, you're just trying to influence people. Like, you're trying to, like, this is fake. No, it's not.
You're trying
it's
to
skills.
Sh-
it's
trying
social,
to show
social science, man.
Yeah.
And so this goes the same thing. If you want someone, if the conversation is not where it needs to be, mm-hmm. think about what you want to see from the other person and do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I think that Jacob is not taking our conversation seriously, that's a time to lean forward, you know, to get a little bit closer to him and be like, hey, like,
it's important,
you know,
to me.
And well, I mean, you don't even need to say that. Your body will say that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But just the closer that I get and the more that I make him the focus,
he's
the more that
me.
He says, the more that he knows that this is, you know, that he is my focus, and then his motor neuron, mirror neuron, sorry, I keep on
motors.
I'm thinking about motor neurons also in my physiology class. That's why.
Oh.
But your mirror, his mirror neurons will start firing, and he'll want to make me the more the focus of his body.
Let me find a quote I found last night that I failed to bring the notebook that I wrote down, but and it will share with you kind of something like that. It's an acronym that I found on how to kind of bring more like. The acronym is SOFTEN.
Okay, one thing really quickly. I just noted this while Jacob brought his phone out. This is just a thought. If you do bring your phone out, like, try to, like, have it kind of, like, in front of them and, like, up, right?
Okay.
Because, like, what, I don't know, Jake, like, how do you feel? Like, if I'm like, oh, yeah, like, let me show you this real quick. If I'm like this, or if I'm like, yo, like, let me show you this.
It feels like you kind of, like, have, like, when you have it in front of me, like, kind of, like, in between you and I, like, it doesn't feel like it's necessarily getting in the way. It's, like, a part of the conversation.
Yeah,
but if
like,
I, like, bring it
like,
out.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the other person's still part of your focus.
Yeah.
Right?
They're in your peripheral, at least.
Yeah. And I don't think, like that's, like, advanced body language right there. So,
yeah.
Because you are going to have to bring your phone out every once in a while.
It's not loading.
The acronym.
Yeah, the acronym is the word soften. So, it's smile. Is like open body language. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't remember exactly.
You know, like,
I don't remember.
Your arms or
yeah, like kind of feel open. F, focus on the person you're talking to. T,
touch.
Yeah, it was touch. Actually, it was. So, like, if appropriate, like maybe sometimes during a conversation to kind of lighten the load, maybe put your arm around someone or put your hand on their arm or just to show that you care. Then the E was eyes. No. Yes, eyes, eye contact. And then the N was...
nose. Put your shots in their direction.
I don't remember what the N was, but it's a good quote. Maybe we'll put it in somewhere and we'll...
Look out on the Instagram page.
For yeah, it was a good reminder to me that like intentional body language will help any interaction with your conversation. So I think just like... I don't know. I feel like we've covered a lot today just within like... body language, like the eye contact, the phones, just like the way you're presenting yourself during specific conversations. Well,
yeah,
one
totally.
Time it might be appropriate to be like completely like focused and like this, but if we're having a silly conversation, like that's kind of like
right.
You're being goofy, dude.
Yeah. One, yeah. There's just endless examples that I can think of.
Yeah. But I think it just comes down to being conscious of the situation you're in.
Right. Well, and making the other person your
focus.
Your focus in regards to conversational body language.
Yeah.
And yeah. So to kind of break it down, to sum it up, I would say, make the other person your focus, soften or whatever it is, or soft day, because we don't know what
soft
the end
day.
Is. And then, so make the other person your focus, and then use your body language to and kind of inspire them or to help them feel what you are feeling.
Yeah.
To utilize those mirror neurons.
Yeah.
And
smile. Just smile.
And I think that you can definitely have better conversations. But I think that, yeah, like body language, conversational and non-conversational is so important. And it can really help you be better with your connection with others.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing we want you guys to focus on this week, and we will do that as well. So we encourage you to go out this week and be really conscious of how you present yourself while having conversations and while not having conversations, and try and be very conscious of matching the energy of the other person, smiling, having a confident body language as you talk, and just be very conscious of it this week And we encourage you to do that. And we will do that as well. And we hope that that will bring more meaningful conversations for you and those that you care about.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
I think she's so good. I really enjoyed that. How long was that?
Not too long. Oh, it was 39 minutes.
How long?